Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So yesterday we were reacting to some comments that Brian Callahan made on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast about Treylon Burks. And you were kind of getting into your thoughts about Treylon Burks, how, you know, just the way that the Brian Callahan was talking about Treylon Burks, how we started our show yesterday. I was driving home yesterday and I heard Jared start his show about, why does anybody care about Treylon Burks? Why are we talking about Treylon Burks?
Yeah, I heard that one.
And look, I understand it to a certain extent. Of Treylon Burks, I'm not going into this season saying that it's Treylon Burks, you know, breakout loading. I'm not going into this season saying that Treylon Burks is a massive or a key cog for this Titans team, because you can't rely on him quite yet. Prove me wrong, Treylon Burks. Prove me wrong. I'm not giving up on Treylon Burks. I'm not trading him to the Steelers and eating $6 million of his salary just in exchange for a 2026 sixth round pick. I am not there with Treylon Burks quite yet. We know that the raw talent is there. That's the reason why he was a first-round pick. But Brian Callahan was talking about how it's kind of a new lease on life for Treylon Burks, that the old regime is out. The general manager that traded A.J. Brown and drafted Treylon Burks to replace A.J. Brown, that's out. It's a clean slate. So Jared's kind of talking about, look, you know, can't count on Treylon Burks. And I agree to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But D-Maze, I have to get your thoughts on another one of Jared's thoughts yesterday. This was Jared.
Hmm.
Yesterday, I walked out there, saw the guys that weren't there, the guys we keep talking about, and I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer not available. And all the talk is Boyd and Ridley and and Hopkins and Burks. And I'm like, what about NWI? He never, ever gets mentioned. He plays all the receiver spots. He plays special teams. He mostly catches the ball when it's thrown to him. He's had some bad drops in his career. One against Kansas City comes to the top of my mind. I think there's another crucial drop he's had over the years. But, again, they're not paying him $40 million. And clearly this administration, you know, Rand Carthon and co, they must have liked what they saw out of him last year to want to bring him back when, again, NWI was a Vrabel favorite, and he's out there in free agency, and Rand Carthon probably went to Brian Callahan and said, hey, this kind of guy you want on your football team. And if I had to put money on it today, like, if I had to, as the old man used to say, put it on the mahogany as to who's going to be more productive for the Titans in 2024, NWI or Treylon Burks, I would put my money down on NWI.
I'll ask you the same question. If you had to put money on it right now, mm-hmm. NWI or Treylon Burks?
Oh, man. More productive?
Yeah.
I would say it's hard for me. I would love to say Treylon or Treylon, as some people call him.
Can we just figure out what his name is? It's Treylon.
I think it's Treylon. Last we checked, I thought it was Treylon. It could be Treylon. He could have changed the pronunciation of his name. I don't know. But I didn't get the memo, so. And I don't think you did either.
I didn't. I must have missed that
one. But because of – this has nothing to do with talent. Nothing whatsoever, because a talent, if you're talking about talent, then I'm taking Treylon Burks every day, all day, over Nick Westbrook or Kenny. This when I answer this question, it's about availability. Nick Westbrook or Kenny has been available. He's been out there. He hasn't had to deal with injuries that have kept him out of games. So if you're asking me the question, that's what I'm basing my answer on. So I'm picking Nick Westbrook or Kenny only because Treylon hasn't stayed on the field consistently enough for me. So my answer would be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But if you tell me both guys are going to be on the field the same amount of time as far as, like, available for games, I'm picking Treylon every day, all day. You know, Treylon had what? Half of the yardage Nick Westbrook-Ikhine had last year in only less than half of the games. Let me say that again. I think I was right. I think I'm right with that, because I think Nick had, what, about 400 or 500 yards?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 14 games, 28 receptions, 370 yards. Treylon Burks, 11 games, 16 receptions, 221.
Yeah, I'm taking Treylon. If you talk about talent standpoint, because you play way more games than Treylon and barely had as many yards. I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a good player. I think he deserves a spot on a lot of teams' rosters. Basically, every team in the NFL, if you're asking me, he's good enough to have a roster spot and play on your team. You know, he's good enough to be in your rotation. Is he a one? Is he a two? Probably not. No, but he can fill in as your three. He could come in as your four and give you some good plays. That I know he can do. But I'm just looking at, if you're basing it upon numbers, I'm taking Treylon, because even playing, what, five or six less games?
Three
less games. You only had like 100 and some yards, almost 200 yards more than he did, and you were targeted more. Well, you had more catches than him. I don't think he was targeted more. So if I'm just looking at it from that standpoint, I'm taking Treylon, but it's all about availability. And Treylon's missed too many games. Yeah. So I got to go with somebody that I know is going to be available for me. So you pick him because he's available and he's a good player.
You know, from a talent perspective, yes, Treylon Burks is absolutely the more talented receiver. I mean, we're talking about a first-round draft pick versus an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was an undrafted free agent. Even if he wasn't, he was a sixth or seventh round pick.
You're
talking about a much different, you know, league here. Right? It's a big divide in just sheer talent and size and speed and ability. Treylon Burks has got it. But I agree. If I have to bet on it today, if somebody says, Caroline, here's $100 and you have to put money on it today, who will be more productive, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Treylon Burks? I have to pick Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah.
He's been nothing but available. Mm-hmm. He has been nothing but reliable. Mm-hmm. Game on the line? Mm-hmm. Am I putting the game in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine's hands? No. Absolutely not. That's not the kind of guy Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is, but that's not his role. Mm-hmm. That's never what the Titans have asked him to be. The Titans have asked him to be reliable and versatile, and that's exactly what Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has been. But man, if you would have told me on draft night, after A.J. Brown got traded and Treylon Burks was drafted with the 16th overall pick, that you would have told me that night, hey, 2 years from now, you're going to pick Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to be more productive?
I don't know. You're a bold-faced liar.
I would have fainted. On spot. Oh, like, man. Oh, no. Somebody would have had to, you know, fan me down a little bit.
Yeah. Listen, if you've listened to our show long enough, especially during the season, you know that, you know, how I feel about Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as a player. So I don't have to continue to go over this over and over again about who I believe he is as a player or what I think he can bring to your team. But just from a pure talent standpoint, I would have to pick Treylon, but from an availability standpoint, Nick Westbrook he's been more available than every receiver they've had over the last year.
Yeah, true.
And two, he's been the one consummate guy in the lineup.
Which I think says two things, both how unreliable the Titans' receivers have been as of late, and two, how reliable Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has been.
Exactly. So I would pick Nick, again, I pick Nick Westbrook-Ikhine based upon that alone. But if you start throwing other stuff in there, then that's when I got to divert from that. But availability, your best ability is your availability, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has been available.
Yep.
And Treylon hasn't. So that's why, you know, if you look at it though, they want to give Treylon Burks that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine role. And what I mean by that is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is a jack of all trade. He's a guy, a Swiss Army knife. He's a guy, you put him inside, outside, sort of move him around.
He's a chameleon.
Yeah, that's what they want Treylon to be. They want him to be that guy that can move around to all spots when they need him. And he's going to play a lot. I don't know if people think that just because he's not the top three as far as to two outside guys and a slot guy means, oh, he's never going to get any play. Oh, he's going to get playing time. If he shows that he can play, he's going to get playing time. And if he continues to show it, he's going to get more playing time. So this theory that people are having, oh, he's not going to even get the snaps, because, yeah, he'll get the snaps. They're going to make sure. That's why they are doing what they're doing. Pay attention to what they're doing, people. Don't pay attention to the starting three when they go into that three wide receiver rotation, which is going to be probably majority of the time.
Yeah.
Don't just look at those three. Look at what he's trying to do with Treylon in this whole thing. He told you Treylon has to play all positions. We're going to get him on the field for all positions. What does that tell me? He's going to be playing a lot, because the way the Titans have been rotating receivers over the last 3-4 years, just look at it. They rotate receivers. That's what the NFL is about, and I hate it. Oh, I hate it. They rotate these receivers. It seems like a new receiver is coming in every 2 or 3 plays. If that is indeed the case, and that's the new offense because they're trying to keep everybody fresh, what makes you think Trenton ain't going to get no opportunity to play? He's going to get a lot of opportunities because they're putting him in every spot. Yeah, they're putting him in every spot. They're not just saying, oh, he's the backup to D-Hop, or he's the backup to Ridley, or he's the backup to Tyler Boyd. No, they want him to play all spots. So when Tyler comes out, who are they putting in? Treylon. If DeAndre Hopkins come out, who are they putting in? Treylon. If Ridley come out, who are they putting in? Treylon. They're not putting in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Now, if Treylon shows he can't handle it, that's when they start to divert from that. But if he shows he picked up all three, make no mistake about it. When Tyler Boyd comes out and they want three wide receivers, unless they got like a package they want to put Phillips in, if he's still on the team, or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in, they're going to throw Treylon right there. If Ridley comes out, unless they have a special package, they're throwing Treylon in. If D-Hop comes out, unless they have a special package, they're throwing D-Hop in. I mean, they're throwing the Treylon in. They're not putting Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in. They're not putting these other receivers in. If Treylon earns the right and shows that he can play all three positions, they're going to put him in. They'd rather put him in than the other guys.
And that's the thing is, that's what Brian Callahan said, and I agree with it. He's going to have to earn it.
Exactly. So I don't understand this sort of this thing that people are, oh, he's not going to get the snaps. He's not the fourth receiver. He's not the fourth receiver. He's going to get a lot of playing time, but it's all predicated on whether he can learn these positions and play it at a level that is satisfactory to the coach. Mm-hmm. If he does that, you're going to see him in the game a lot. Believe, I am promising you that. If he shows it, you will see him a lot. You will see him over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
If he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Because the reason we've seen Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as much as we have, the reason we know that he is as reliable as he is because nobody else could.
Exactly.
So he has been the poster child of reliability. Is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as talented or more talented than Treylon Burks? Heavens no.
No.
Absolutely not. That's the most valuable thing in this league, is how reliable you can mm-hmm. be. I want to get into your receiver rankings coming up next. Mm-hmm. In your top 32?
Yeah, they're all 32.
Top 32, how many Titan receivers are in it? Mm. As a little bit of an appetizer for next segment.
I'm not going to tell you.
Ooh, you're just going to have to stick around and wait for it.
Because
we have the Pro Football Focus ranking of the top receivers, 1 through 32 in the league. Interested to see how D-Mace's list compares. Mm-hmm. Does he agree? Does he disagree? Why or why not? We'll get into that coming up next. D-Mace's official 2024 wide receiver rankings. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Billy, D-Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Took a shot, but just kept on running.
Look at that, a 62-yarder mm-hmm. from Derek Mason.
Absolutely, in the rain versus my hometown team.
I was just about to say, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, in the rain, hometown team. It was a slant. See, you got to run this slant differently. It was slant. It was sort of like a press coverage, a tight coverage. And I saw the safety right there, so the quarterback got to put it in a space where I can catch it and protect myself. Uh-huh. And Joe did it. Joe did just that, which means he likes me. He threw it to where I can catch it and then protect myself.
And he wanted then, you to keep your head that
yeah,
day.
He wanted me to keep my head. I checked myself, and I was able to take a big shot and still score a touchdown 62 yards later.
There you go.
Did you crack a rib on that play?
Nah, man, I was hurt.
Really? I mean, yeah, you just kind of hunched over.
Yeah, no, but that whole season I had been dealing with a broken scapula. So my scapula was broke that whole season, along with slightly torn rotator cuff in the same shoulder. So it wasn't that the hit was hard, but it was you hit me right on my right on the shoulder side. Like, oh,
like right at the perfect place.
Goodness gracious, like that hurt. So, but I was able to stand up tall, keep running.
There we go.
There we go.
Derek.
Attaboy. Derek. Bring your ass.
Derek Dog Mason, D-A-double-G.
D-A-double-G. Before we get into D-Mason's wide receiver rankings, a quick update from Hoover, Tennessee, and Texas A&M in the loser's bracket, scoreless in the top of the second. So Pro Football Focus put out their own list of ranking the receivers 1 through 32. As you heard, we have our own wide receiver expert on the program. So I want to get into D-Mace's wide receiver rankings, 1 through 32. Before we get started, how did you approach this? Like, what was your thought process? What was your method to your madness of ranking these receivers? Is it who you think is going to have the biggest season this upcoming season? The best body of work so far?
A lot of mine really had to do with the body of work. Not necessarily what you did that season. Because I know how this league can be. Guys can come in and wow the league and blaze everybody. Then the next following year, we got tape on you. We figure you out a little bit. You don't work on your game enough to change and to work on the things, those things that you need to improve. You're just working on your strengths and not your weaknesses. And then the second year, you end up tapering off some. So I understand that about this league. So mine was more so your body of work and then what I believe you can potentially do moving forward, whether you have 3 more years left in this league or 10 more years left in this league. That's what I based it upon. I don't base it upon highlight reels and, you know, having one great season. No, I don't. I based it upon, have you put together multiple seasons? Have you been available? And then, you know, obviously, are you a playmaker, you know, within what your offense is asking you to do? Are you a playmaker? Again, a lot of it is not about the numbers, because if I wanted to go by just the numbers, some of these guys wouldn't be in there, or guys would be ranked higher than other guys if I base it upon like last season's numbers. But that's not how I look at wide receivers. I look at it first and foremost, the body of work. But there are not many guys in this group that had this huge body of work. All these guys are pretty young, you
NFL,
know,
not for long.
Yeah, and these guys are pretty young, but they're damn good receivers.
Yeah.
And I hope the young ones are able to have a long career, whatever long is for them. So then those numbers can start adding up, and that consistency you can start to see.
So let's get into it.
All right.
Derek Mason's top receivers for the 2024 season. Let's start with number one.
No, I can't start with number one. We can't go there.
We're going 32?
Yeah, we got to go from the bottom up. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Okay.
Okay, that's how you do it.
Let's start at 32.
For all those Drake lovers, you know, so.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll, please.
Number 32.
Number 32 for me is Chris Olave. Chris Olave is 32. I think Chris is going to be a damn good receiver in this league. Obviously, this was his first season. He showed promise.
His past year was his second season.
Well, yes, yeah, second season. Mm-hmm. Not his first season, yeah. Second season. He's shown promise. Obviously, they need to work him more because he's more of a slot guy. Than an outside guy. So, but he works well in a slot, and I think he's only going to get better. So,
he's also been in a tumultuous quarterback situation.
Yeah, their quarterback situation has been not good with Chris Olave.
Derek
so,
Carr, James Winston.
Yeah, it's just been quarterback after quarterback, but he's still been somewhat productive, even though having all these quarterbacks. So, that's a plus for him.
I like it.
So, hopefully, once they get that quarterback situation set it out, he'll continue to ascend.
31
and 30. 31 for me is Terry McLaughlin. He's had a up and down sort of short career. And now, listen, he's in Washington. Enough said. They've had their quarterback issues. And I know Sam Howell played excellent, it seemed like, the first half of the season. They didn't win many games, but his numbers were gaudy. But then, you know, it started to taper off a little bit. And I think McLaurin sort of suffered because of that, because he was really the only true, like, outside playmaker that they had. And I think teams figured that out. Even with Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, he still sort of figured things out. So Terry McLaughlin, I got, 31? Yeah, because 32 is Chris Olave, then Christian Kirk. Terry McLaughlin. Drake London, I think you will start to see him ascend because now it seems like they got some stability at the quarterback position. Well, they do. It just depends on how does Kirk Cousins come back off of that Achilles tear. But you have a solid quarterback, a good quarterback under him, a quarterback that is accurate, a quarterback that's going to make it his business to get you the ball in the places you need to have it. So to me, I think Drake London, because now they got themselves a bona fide quarterback, I think his numbers will rise just a little bit.
He's so good.
Yeah. Christian Kirk is next. I mean, not Christian Kirk, but Cooper Kupp is next.
Ooh.
Cooper Kupp, the last two seasons haven't been good for him. Yeah. He's been injury riddled. Now, if he had been healthy, he would have been much higher on this list. And I can't see things getting that much better for him because he's getting older. Mm-hmm. And now they have Puka Nacua that is sort of taking on that Cooper Kupp role. So his numbers and his targets may diminish some.
Yeah.
And then the other young man they have that's pretty good. Their slot, I don't think he was a slot receiver, but he was a part of the three receiver rotation. I forget his name. He's a young wide receiver that they have. So they're looking to, I think, establish more guys in that passing offense, not just Cooper Kupp. But Cooper Kupp is still a damn good player. And you can rely on him, and he can win you games at the wide receiver position.
Tutu Atwell, is that who you're thinking of?
I think it was Tutu Atwell. Mm-hmm. I think it was, yeah. Because he was their third receiver, I believe.
Yeah.
So Cooper Kupp, and then after that, Garrett Wilson. I like Garrett Wilson. Now that Aaron Rodgers is back, hopefully he can stay healthy. Yeah. With the additions that they've added at the receiver position, I think Garrett Wilson's going to have a breakout season if he stays injury-free. Or should I say, if the quarterback stays injury-free.
Yeah.
I think Garrett Wilson would have a tremendous season this upcoming season.
If the offensive line can give the quarterback a little bit of time.
Exactly. If the offensive line give him a little bit of time and he can find Garrett Wilson.
Keith Carter, the offensive line coach with the Jets.
Let's see how that goes. So, I have Garrett Wilson. And then I got my man Zay Flowers. Love Zay Flowers, man. This kid, if y'all just need to watch him, he's electrifying. He's good after the catch, excellent route runner, tough. Not a big guy, but he make up for it with his toughness. He just needs to figure out the game a little bit more. Sort of like some of these other young receivers, they just need to figure out the game a little bit more.
I think about that just moment that I'm sure he wanted to have back against
That fumble. And I hated it for the young man too. He went from the hero to the GOAT very quickly. So I got Zay Flowers. Then after that, I got Puka Nacua. I think Puka's a damn Puka Nacua to me is just a sort of replica of Cooper Kupp. Meaning from this standpoint, they both know how to find holes in a defense. They're both good at reading defenses, reading leverage.
And that's such a Sean McVay product.
Exactly, absolutely. Yeah. And they work well in a system that is provided for them. They excel in this system. And Puka Nacua excelled his rookie year. I was debating on whether to put him lower or maybe a little bit higher because of he doesn't have the body of work, and I would love to see for the second season how our team's going to try to guard him. Considering now they know what type of player he is. But I thought at this position, you know, it would be good for him.
Now breaking into the top 25.
Yes, we're in the top 25 now. So number 25, I have Brandon Ayuk. again, Brandon Ayuk is rising. He's an ascending player. I wonder how he's going to play this year, because I don't think they had a, they've worked out a contract situation with him
yet.
So it depends. Will he sit out? Will he hold out? Will he not? It just depends. And then, you know, once he is in the offense, will not having a contract hamper him in any way during the season?
Or could it help him?
Yeah, absolutely. So he is one of those guys like a Garrett Wilson or a Puka Nacua that I see rising as the season goes, or at the end of the season when I redo this. You know, he can go up 3 or 4 spots, you know, because, you know, it's just now you figured this thing out. And
he's one I question, is he better because of Debo?
Exactly.
Or could he be even better without Debo because he's not splitting the targets? You know
exactly.
I mean?
You just don't know.
Darn good duo.
But they're a darn good duo. Yeah. I think they're top 3 or 4 duo in the National Football League.
Totally.
After that, I have Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, like some of these older, he's just been a consummate pro. Now, listen, I had to debate because he's always injured. He's always has some nagging injury. But when he's in the lineup, he's unstoppable, basically. He's a catching machine. He doesn't have the greatest speed, but he's D-hop. But without all the numbers, you throw it anywhere in this area, he's going to catch the football. That's just who he is. But the problem is he's not available a lot. Yeah. He's hurt a lot. So he could have been higher on his list, but he's not. So Keenan Allen. And then next,
23? I got
20. Where were we at?
23.
I got Christian. Did I say Christian Kirk already?
No.
No, I got Christian Kirk. Again, Christian Kirk is another guy that I believe can ascend.
Yeah.
He got injured last year. He missed a considerable amount. And you saw their offense change once Christian Kirk wasn't involved anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's when Calvin Ridley, the coverage started to shift more to Calvin Ridley because you don't have a Christian Kirk. I know you had Jones there, but, I mean, they thought so much of Jones that they didn't re-sign him,
yeah.
You know. So they were missing a lot when Christian Kirk got hurt. So to me, he's one of those guys. If he can come off this injury, he's one of these guys that can ascend too. He's not a flashy player, but what he does is catch the football, get open. He's sort of Cooper Kupp,
yeah.
Puka Nacua, those guys, find holes, real good at that, catches the ball, secures it, makes the tough catch. That's who he is.
The duo with Brian Thomas Jr., I think, is going to be really
interesting. Yeah, it's going to be, because Brian Thomas will be the deep threat guy.
He'll be your speedster.
Exactly, and yeah. You can have Christian Kirk work underneath and do what he does best.
A little
so.
More finesse in the slot.
Uh-huh. So I got Christian Kirk, and then I got Nico Collins.
Ooh.
Now, Nico is another guy that can, he may ascend as well with the addition of Stephon Diggs. It may seem like, okay, Stephon Diggs there, that may take away his targets, and Tank Dell's back. No, I don't think it will. I think it will be now the targets you get. There may be a few less targets, but I think your per catch average goes up. Because of the less targets, they're going to try to get you more down the field. Use your big body, those deep end cutting routes, those slant routes. They're going to be looking to you. Stephon Diggs obviously is going to be the jack of all trades. And then you got Tank Dell. That's going to be the question mark because him coming off an injury, how will he look in his second season coming off an injury? That's going to be, if he pops, that whole receiving core might end up being the best receiving core in the National Football League with those three guys.
If he pops even with Stephon Diggs in the mix,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's a Nico Collins kind of breakthrough.
Absolutely.
21. Who we got?
21. George Pickens.
Okay.
I got it at 21. George Pickens, to me, he has all the talent in the world.
And got targeted like twice last
year. Yes, but he was... For some reason, he just kept getting in his own way with things he was saying or doing. It was just like, dude, just don't take the Antonio Brown route. Okay, don't. Antonio Brown was a great player, but he got in his own way as well. And that you see where that landed him eventually, you know, out of the NFL. So don't do the things that are going to get yourself. Don't put your own self in your own way. Don't do that.
Right.
And George Pickens did that. Mm-hmm. You know, if he gets away from that, he has, like Treylon Burks, he has all the talent in the world to be an elite receiver. He just hadn't reached it yet.
Top 20.
Top 20. Here we go. I had Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle.
At 20?
At 20, I have Jalen Waddle. Whoa. I think I love, hey, listen, I love Jalen Waddle. He doesn't get the love that he deserves. But, you know, because Tyreek Hill is on your team, it's like people are
going to be second
fit. Yeah, you're going to be second fit. Exactly. But man, oh my, just watch this kid play. I mean, he's electrifying. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that when he gets the ball in his hands, look out. He can make things happen once he gets the ball in his hands. So to me, Jalen Waddle.
19
is D-Hop. I got D-Hop at 19. D-Hop to me is if this was 3 years earlier, D-Hop would be much higher, much higher than where he is now. But the space that we're sitting in, no. I can't see him recreating those great years that he had. Is he still a good receiver? Damn right he's still a good receiver. Is he going to catch everything? Damn right he's going to catch everything. I've always said, beside Chris Carter and Larry Fitzgerald, he may be the third best guy to ever catch a football that I've seen. And I've seen a lot of guys.
Yeah, that's
but him, he's in that ballpark. Just sure hands, like natural hand catching, he's up there with Chris Carter and Larry Fitzgerald.
Just to compare, Pro Football Focus had D-Hop at 17. So kind of it's
right around that area.
Okay. You got at 18?
At 18, I have Deebo Samuel. Deebo is tough as nails. Deebo is a jack of all trades. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him in a slot. You can put him outside. Just when you think Deebo can't run, he break a tackle, and there he is for a 68-yard touchdown or a 70-yard touchdown. The kid is just, I mean, if you're looking for like just a football player, Deebo Samuel is your man.
Let's rapid fire through 17 through 10. Who you got?
Okay, so I went from Deebo to DJ Moore. Calvin Ridley is there.
So you got two Titans receivers.
I have two Titan receivers. Calvin Ridley.
I was intrigued to see what you would have there because I looked at Pro Football Focus's list and only D-Hop from the Titans.
And that's what I was after I did my list and I went back and looked at theirs. I'm like, so you're putting D-Hop over the guy they just gave all that money to and is their number one receiver?
Bold move.
Well, that is a bold move. But I put both of those guys in my top 20.
I think they deserve to be in the top 20, at least from their bodies of work.
Exactly.
15 through 10.
DJ Metcalf, Devontae Smith, and Amari Cooper.
I'm just kind of surprised you have Devontae Smith, 14.
Yeah, I got Devontae Smith, 14, and Amari Cooper.
I think it just goes to show how many freaking good receivers.
Yeah, there are a bunch of good receivers in the league. So where are we at now?
We're at 12.
We're at 12. All right. So then I got Amon Ross St. Brown. It's just so like Amon St. Brown. Yeah, so I put him there. I love this dude. He's like D. He's just a player, man.
Yeah.
He's a Christian Kirk type player. I think he's a little bit better than Christian Kirk, but all he does is make plays and make catches.
Yeah.
That's all he does for the Lions.
Yeah.
So that's why I put him there.
We'll continue along. D. Mace's top 32 receivers were at 11. Who you got 11 to the top?
Oh, you want it now?
Yeah, because we got to catch up with our friend Allie Melnick.
Okay.
So your top 32 receivers?
So then after
at
that,
11.
I got, did this whole thing. I don't think I have 32, but let's just go with this. Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
Ooh.
Ja'Marr Chase.
At 9?
Because of his health. That's why. It's health. He has to come back. I need to see how he's going to come back his second, you know, after the injury. Because he's been injured.
8?
I numbered mine all wrong because I'm at now 6. So I'm at 6. I don't know how I misnumbered these. A.J. Brown.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson.
Ooh, at 5.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson. Again, injury. Injuries. He's been injured.
Uh-huh.
Ask me this in the middle of the season. Nick, he may be number one.
Yeah.
He has that talent. CeeDee Lamb.
Hmm.
CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
I love CeeDee Lamb. another one of those big physical wide receivers that does nothing but make plays, even though he's getting the football. You know it.
Yep.
He's going to make plays.
Top three.
At number three, Mike Evans.
You love Mike Evans.
Number three is Mike Evans. If I could have put Mike Evans in number one, I would have put Mike Evans at number one.
You can. This is your list.
Let me talk about Mike Evans just for a quick second right here. Mike Evans is the most consistent receiver on this list outside of D-Hop. All he does is catch passes, catch touchdowns, don't bother nobody, and is available.
Yeah.
He's available.
He's the definition of franchise receiver.
10 years, over 1,000 yards each season, and he's been dominant.
Yeah.
He's just a dominant player. That's who he is.
Who you got at number two?
Number two, Justin Jefferson.
You have Justin Jefferson at five, too.
Do I? See, that's where I messed my whole list up. So Justin Jefferson really was number two. I'm sorry.
Okay,
so that's how I messed up. I'm figuring out, how did I get number twice? And number one, obviously, is Tyreek Hill.
Okay, so your top five, Tyreek Hill.
Justin Jefferson.
Mike Evans.
CeeDee Lamb. And A.J. Brown. Yep.
I honestly, that was a fair list. That's a very fair list.
So I just had them numbered wrong. But A.J. Brown, yeah. So those are my top five. And listen, I could be completely wrong.
It's my subjective list.
You know, and, you know.
I think it's a pretty fair top five.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair top 10, honestly.
Yeah.
But I know people will make a big deal because I put D-Hop at, what was it, 20?
At 19.
And Calvin Ridley at, you know, not in the top 10.
But I on it today, I can't say that Calvin Ridley is a top 10 receiver.
I can't say he's a top 10. And
top
I can't,
32, yeah. Yeah.
I can't say D-Hop is a top 15 receiver at this point. I'm not sure if he will ever be that again for damn near 10 years.
Yeah.
He was a top five receiver. Some years he was the number one receiver. But he's getting older.
Yep.
He still produces, but that doesn't mean because he has produced, I then got to throw him in the top 10. I'm just looking at him, what he has done in the past, what I feel he's going to do in the future, and where he's at now, which is where I put him.
Totally fair. D. Mace's top 32 receivers of the 2024 season. We will wrap it up with our friend Allie Melnicki coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, our friend Allie Melnicki from Zen Sports joins us now. Allie, quick visit today, but we got a big game between the Pacers and the Celtics. Epic choke job from the Pacers in game one. So who do you like tonight in game two?
I like the over. It's sitting at 224.5 right now. This was a high-scoring game, the last one that went into overtime. Like you said, the Pacers did choke. I don't know what their mindset is going into tonight. Boston, big 8.5-point favorites at home. I'm going to go with the Celtics.
Quickly, again, WNBA, quickly, over-under, what was the over-under, or what are the money with the Indiana Fever over-under wins this season? I know right now they're 0-5 with Caitlin Clark. They've had some tough games, but what do you see the over-under for them for the season?
Like it's trending toward the under, that's for sure. I forget what it was to open the season, but, you know, they are 2.5-point favorites tomorrow in Los Angeles. I know I'm trying to get tickets, but they're pricey for the Fever coming to play, the Sparks out here. I do think the Fever can get their first win. They've been improving the last couple games. They should have won last night. They could have won a few nights ago, too. I think that Caitlin Clark finally picks up her first win tomorrow.
Ooh, with Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston on your roster, you better be picking up a few wins.
Absolutely.
Here and there. I'll still be picking number one overall for the third year in a row. Allie, I know it's a quick visit this week, but we always appreciate you, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, thanks, Allie. Allie Melnicki, our friend from Zen Sports. That is going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Enjoy your Thursday and peace.